Welcome to an episode of Dollars and Cents, Wealth, Wisdom, and Well-Being, where we explore the crossroads of life, money, and success with some of the world's most intriguing minds. I'm John Kevrolin, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager for Main Street Wealth Management Group.
And I'm Mark Lopez, Senior Vice President, Olympic Silver Medalist, and Certified Financial Planner for the team. Together, we bring you insights that bridge the gap between your personal and financial well-being.
Well, it's great to be here today. And today, we're so excited that we have a guest who's going to shed some light on one of the most critical aspects of business ownership, selling your business. Today, we have Rich Hall here. Rich is the founder of the Rich Hall Group and a certified exit planning advisor. Rich has spent his career helping business owners not just maximize the value of their business, but also align those businesses with their life goals. Rich, welcome to the show.
John and Mark both, thank you very much for having me. Looking forward to a good conversation.
All right, let's do this. Well, as our listeners know, as always, we like to kick things off with a bit of trivia. So Rich and John, and to our listeners out there, here's today's question. Did you know that most business owners have the majority of their wealth tied up in their business? Yet surprisingly, few have a solid exit plan. So here's the question. What percentage of business owners do you think actually have a formal exit strategy in place? And I'll just let Rich go ahead and try to answer this.
Well, he is the expert here. Yeah, he is, absolutely.
I think I know the answer. Sadly, less than about 10% of business owners have a formal exit strategy in place. Yet, like you said, Mark, over 80% of their wealth is tied up in the business. That sounds like a risky position to me.
Wow, that number is shocking to me. You would think that the business community would be better prepared, but I guess there's a lot of reasons for that. Most business owners, I guess, that we talk to are really focused on their business.
Yes. Well, and if you think about it, they really know their business, but their assumption is my business generates a really great income. It is taking care of me and my family today. So when the time comes that I'm ready to do some form of a transition, which may be selling the business, transition it to the next generation, whatever that may be, they're assuming that the business is sellable. And in a lot of cases, that's where the concern is it may not be.
That's fascinating. Well, we're going to get into all this, but before we go any further, let's start with a bit about your background. What led you to become a certified exit planning advisor and who you are today?
Oh, a lot of scars. So I started off with a successful career as an executive for a lot of rapidly growing companies where I was the one in there doing what I call turnarounds, whether it's poor performing companies that really needed to turn around or some that may have been really high growth environments. A lot of them led to a lot of mergers and acquisitions. There was one point in my career where I went through 4 mergers in 5 years, and that was tough. And what I realized is I was, again, boots on the ground. I was part of the leadership team, but they didn't always work out the way either party wanted, and maybe didn't always work out the way that I wanted either. So after that point, I dedicated a lot of my career and ongoing education to learn what really makes a successful and valuable company. I was an executive with a family business where there wasn't a lot of excess capital to work with, and one result in a very successful exit. And another one that I worked with, I was president of that company, and they went from almost going under to record revenues and profits the same year. So after that, I decided this is what I enjoy doing. I'm very good at it. I enjoy it. And I became a business advisor so I can help other business owners have the same type of success. And that's what led me into the exit planning space.
Interesting. Well, we've all had key figures in our lives that have shaped our paths. Rich, who has been a major influence in your life, both personally and professionally, and how did they guide you towards a career in exit planning?
Okay, well, I hope our audience understands that I'm getting this question from a former Olympian, which is somewhat intimidating, but hey, we'll go with it. I'm wired to always improve myself and to be of service to others. Although money is important to me, it's not the primary driver for me in my life. Helping others to achieve success is what's really important to me. And then I know that that will breed success for us as well. So as I was thinking about the question, a lot of the major influences, I believe, both personally and professionally, are those people that believe in you and they give you confidence to be just exponentially better than you are today. And they're the ones that drive you to obtain what you can really accomplish. And for me, I remember specifically growing up, coaches in sports. And then I got into business, those business owners or executives that when I'm having a tough day, put their arm around you and say, you know what, you got this. And you can be much better than you are today. And we always remember who those are.
You sure do. That's such a great answer. And here's another question that brought to my mind is, do you think that business owners often think about their company's value as a part of their overall wealth or financial plan? How should they be thinking about that?
Unfortunately, and we'll talk more about this in a little bit, but there's an aspect of a business that generates a really great income versus one that is highly valuable. And for most business owners, if the company needs blood, it's the owner's blood that gives. If they need money, it's the owner's money. And they don't always think about their personal well-being or their personal wealth until it's later on in their time or their career when they're looking at some former, let's say, transition. One of the messages I always pass along to the business owner is the most important aspect of exit planning is not the business itself. It's the owners. What's your personal goals? What does the future hold for you? And what does that look like? And we walk them through exercises to really think about that. But then that translates to financial goals. And that's where guys like you are involved because they don't always know what that means. And then the third is where we talk through our business goals. What does that future look like? And we always address this first because a lot of times they're not the ones that are thinking about their own future. They're thinking about the business and those that they employ.
We see that quite a bit just in retirement, where sometimes people do not think about what life is going to be like and what they want it to be like afterwards. That makes a lot of sense.
Rich, do you mind giving us the best success story that you've seen so far? And then just as important for our listeners who are looking to sell their business, things to look out for if they are planning on selling their business. For instance, can you give us an example of a worst case scenario that you've seen over the years in your career?
Yes. Actually, the absolute worst is when and I won't name names, but when the business owner wakes up one day, and this goes out to a lot of the baby boomers as an example, when they put 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week into their business for 30 years, and then they just get to the point where they're absolutely exhausted and they're worn out, and their hope and dreams all along is that the business is going to transition in such a way that whether it's to internally or they sell the company, that that's going to fund the next phase of life. When you have to have the conversation that says, listen, your business in the current state it's in is not sellable. That's a very difficult conversation. And I've got one of those going on right now. Now, on the flip side is a well-run business. And I'm working with a client today that had run his business throughout the years very fundamentally. It's a strong business model, was not playing with the financials, running a lot of stuff through just a good, solid business. And we evaluated it and told him, I think you'll be ready in about 3 months. You've done a fantastic job. And here's the thing. The valuation of the company came in a lot higher than what he was expecting. Rarely does that happen. Business owners always think, you know, it's their baby, right?
Yeah.
My baby is worth a whole lot more than what it actually is a lot of the time. In this scenario, I had the pleasure of sharing with him, listen, you're coming in much, much higher. Congratulations.
Wow. Early Christmas.
No better conversation ever to have.
That's awesome.
That is what a pleasant surprise, right? As opposed to the other story. Not to scare the listeners that are business owners, but I know you have so many statistics out there Give us some statistics that you think would really open people's eyes.
Yeah, these are tough. Today, only about 30% of businesses that are marketed for sale actually end up selling. So think about that.
30%.
Only 30%. And these are some national statistics. I've seen this personally. The scenario I'll put with in real terms that our listeners can understand. Imagine that you decided that you wanted to sell your house and you put it on the market today, as is, dirty laundry, you know, just everything in its current state, and your expectation was top value for it. That's a good scenario for like the business. So, example, here's the thing about family-owned businesses. Only about 20% of family-owned businesses transition to the second generation successfully long-term, and the number's even much worse, like less than 10% for third generation.
20%.
Yes.
I mean, that is...
Yeah, we touched upon that in one of our previous podcasts, John.
Was right? It saying...
Rags to riches?
Yeah, that's right. Rags to riches, back to rags, or shirt sleeve to shirt sleeves. I've heard it a few different ways. 20%.
Wow. I'm curious. Do you have a story that you can tell? Obviously, no names, about a family that unsuccessfully transitioned?
Yeah. So one of the challenges is when you have family in the business, you still want whoever is involved in your business to be the absolute best person for that role.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, we always know that family members sometimes, you know, maybe coming in late, leaving early, because they're family, right? And they know they can do it. Well, then think about having that same person is saying, okay, now we're done. You need to turn over the company. You need to run the company now. They're not prepared. So what I advise family members or family business owners, if you're looking at replacing yourself, come up with a job description as an example. And also I call what's called a success criteria. What does it take for someone running this company to be successful in this role? And then use that to compare the next generation, whoever you're looking at to take over. How do they compare? If you're absolutely set on that person, then you've got a gap. And if you do, how are you going to close that gap, whether it's skills, training, or et cetera? If not, is it the right time to transition to the next generation or perhaps bring someone else in for an interim, run the company until that next generation's ready? Just don't assume doing that transition is going to be highly successful, because as we've seen from the numbers, most times they're not.
You know, it really sounds like exit planning. Business owners need to start it as early as possible. And that kind of leads me to the next thing. So let's just talk about exit planning. It is not the greatest name for what it is that you've just described. So for our listeners, what does exit planning consist of? And how long does it usually take?
I am so glad you started it out that way, John. I hate the term exit. And here's why. To me, it infers what I call binary.
Or leaving.
Sell or not sell, right? There's so many more options that exist for owners out there that other than just selling the company to a third party. And we can certainly get into more of those, because many business owners have absolutely no idea of ways they could take money out of the business to fund their retirement,
sure,
or next phase, while also growing and really. So anyway, I digress. A lot of great conversation we can have about that. The real thing about exit planning is it's a preparation in advance, understanding the business owner's personal, financial, and business goals. And then how do you prepare the company so that it is a much more highly valuable company, so that when that transition is ready to occur, it meets the owner's goals? And in a nutshell, that's what it comes down to. The devil's in the details with a lot of the work under, but that's really what exit planning is about, is planning far enough in advance. Now, you asked me a great question. How long do we usually recommend? I tell the target great scenario is about 3 years. And the reason I do 3 years before the plan to transition, the reason to sell a company today, it takes somewhere between 9 and 12 months. All right. When you start the selling process, you contact whether it's an M&A advisor or a broker or investment banker, whoever's going to help you sell it. So take that 12 months off. Therefore, we need about 12 to 24 months in advance to really do a great assessment of the company and then identify those areas that may be impacting the valuation or the ability to sell, and it gives us enough time to address it.
And that leads me to another question, is because we've seen it many times, is so despite having a strong business, strong earnings, some businesses still fail to sell. Mm-hmm. What are some reasons why high-earning businesses like that don't sell?
Actually, it's one of those topics that when I walk through with business owners, they're shocked at times to hear some of these because they're like, Rich, my company is generating whatever the numbers are, 100,000, a million, 10 million a month in profits, and you're telling me it's not sellable. And when I describe to them, it doesn't take long until they drop their head and they're like, Rich, you're right, I understand. So let me give some examples. Let's say the owner is too involved in the day-to-day business. All questions run by him, all decisions run by him. The relationships, they play golf with the major customers, they're deeply involved with the major suppliers. The business is just too reliant on the owner. And therefore, if the owner is separated from the business, it couldn't survive.
That makes sense.
That's one of the top reasons. Other areas, you may have a great business model making really good money, but if a high percentage of your revenue in the business is coming from a small percentage of customers, and usually anything above 20% from one customer or a small group of customers is a very bad thing. And the importance is having to diversify.
So I guess I could see that where a company sees that there's a lot of risk involved if you lose that one customer.
It's exactly what it is. It all comes down from the buyer's perspective. They go in with the assumption that this is a great business. I want to buy this business and I want to buy it to grow it. But then when they learn more about it and then they find out that, hey, I've got issues like owner involvement. Maybe there's poor leadership team. Maybe there's customer. They then have to factor in, number one, how do I address that risk? Number two, how long or do I need to pour money into the company, like hire an entire new management team or whatever, till they get to the point that it says it's no longer a good deal and they turn around and walk. And that's what a lot of owners don't understand. It's not that they don't think it's a good business, but without the owner. And again, strong leadership team, not only can it operate today, does it have a strong upside? People don't buy companies to just have it run as is. They want it to grow.
That makes sense.
Does it have the capacity? Can the employees handle more? Can the market they're in handle more? All of these things are very important.
What about, this is going to sound kind of weird, but like self-sabotage, where the owner wants to sell and then ultimately gets cold feet?
Oh, all the time. It's why we go back and we talk about the business goals all the way up front. Because when it comes down to the final days and the final negotiations, and they know that they're, let's say they're going to get a big check, then it comes back to them what's important. And importance to them may be, my identity is tied in this company. I enjoy coming to work every day. I'm going to now give that up. Or it could be, I think it's a bad deal. Or these employees, they got me to where I am today. And I know that this buyer is going to basically roll up the company into their company and let most of the employees go. A lot of different scenarios. That's why it's one of the most important conversations with the business owner and the spouse and those others really involved. Right. To make sure they think about those things that are really important to them. Because when it comes down to the bottom line of it's time to close the deal, write the checks, and to move on, many, many business owners get cold feet because it's not what they wanted after all.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
Well, on to another subject. As financial planners and wealth managers, and me in particular, I'm the certified financial planner on the team. So it's my job to plan for the worst, right? And hope for the best. But many business owners don't plan for the worst, right? And they're focused 100% of the time or a lot of their time on their business, how to operate it, making sure their employees get paid and making sure profits are enhanced and so forth. But what they, like you mentioned earlier, only 10% of business owners have a formal exit strategy. What are, if you could expand on the 5 D's of exit planning that business owners usually don't think about, but they should plan for?
Yeah, so that goes back to one of our horrible stats. 50% of businesses exit or close due to some kind of unforeseen circumstance. And where you talk about the five Ds, for example, death, when the owner dies, key employee dies, disease, divorce, maybe a disagreement with other owners, distress, financial distress, whatever it is, half of the businesses out there either exit or close when this happens. So think about it. Let's tie that back into the other numbers. If 50% of businesses exit involuntarily,
yeah,
then you've got 30% end up selling and 70% don't. And 80% of an owner's wealth is tied up in the business. Those are horrible numbers for those business owners relying on the business that don't have a plan, whether it's an exit plan or a wealth strategy, to be prepared in the event some of this happens. It's horrible.
Those are surprising statistics, but I think it's something that all business owners really need to hear. It is that important.
It's one of the things that I don't like the negativity of it. I like the education,
right,
that says, listen, you've still, you know, this is not something that's necessarily needs to happen to you. You can do something about it in your business. And we talk a lot about what those kind of things are. But if you just don't think, same thing, if people don't save or they don't think about their financial future, what happens? When they call you up and they're 55, 60 years old and says, John, I'm ready to retire. And you're like, sorry, man, I got nothing. You can't do it. You're not ready. It's the same type concept. You just start thinking about and educating yourself. All right, how do I prepare in such a way that this business is an asset that will either help the next generation,
right, yeah,
or actually help the financial future of the owner?
So, Rich, if you could go into a little bit more specifics as far as one of the five Ds occurring. For instance, if a business owner dies and they have a partner, what's something they can do to solve for that situation? God forbid something like that were to happen.
It happens all the time. And here's the scenario that's tough is, let's say it's a 50-50 partnership, and then one of the owners does pass away. Well, there's programs you can put in place. And one example is a buy-sell agreement, where if the condition occurs of, whether it's one of the five Ds, death, one of the owners goes through a divorce, et cetera, then the first sort of right of refusal to sell the shares of that deceased owner goes back to the company. So that way the company can continue running, because otherwise, without this in place, what dictates what happens to that owner's shares in the company? Their will. And if the will says, all right, maybe it goes to my minor children or my spouse. Okay. Is the spouse, who's never had anything to do with the business, is now your 50-50 partner, do you think you're going to have an effective company?
And maybe the spouse doesn't even want to be a 50% partner. They just want to get the benefit or the value of the company.
A lot of times I've heard them say, no, I just want to sell it and get my money. Well, imagine if you had a thriving business and that happened. So that's one of the things we talk about. Again, there's programs like a buy-sell agreement that you can have in place and structure it in such a way that in that scenario, the spouse's value of the company gets paid out and the company retains the ownership of the company.
Interesting.
And there's ways of how to fund it and things like that that we can always talk about later.
Very interesting. Here's kind of an off-topic question, but what's one thing about you, Rich, that would surprise our listeners? Something that not many people know about you.
All right. So this is a fun one. Some of our younger listeners may not recognize the name, but you remember NBC Nightly News with Tom Brokaw?
Oh, yeah.
All right. When my wife and I were having our third child, the marketing department of the hospital called and asked if I would be interviewed by Tom Brokaw or his team for a segment they're doing called Fatherhood.
No kidding.
Yeah. And they want to interview me right after the baby's born. I was like, listen, I'm happy to do an interview, but you're not going to be in the delivery room. And they're like, trust me, man, I don't want to. So yeah, it was pretty cool. They did a segment on fatherhood. It aired nationwide in a little sidebar. So they came out the next like 3 or 4 days later. Well, this was back when you didn't have, you know, weeks and weeks of paternity leave. My son was born on a Friday. I'm back at work on Monday, right? Yeah. They come back out. I'm exhausted, but they want me to play with my two-year-old. So I'm sitting over here tossing him up in the air, and it's fine, father, son, tossing a little tour in, he's cheering. It's that what I didn't know is the cameraman was behind me, and guess what was behind my son? Now, it was about 3 or 4 feet, but the angle of the camera made it look like it was real. It was a ceiling fan.
Oh, my gosh.
I call it grief countrywide because people are saying, oh, you're tossing up your son into the ceiling fan. So, yeah, it was fun, and we still have laughs over that today.
That's
good stuff right there.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I know of Tom Brokaw, so that's pretty awesome.
That was good. Yeah, pretty good awesome. Morning.
Very cool.
So going back to business, if you don't mind, Rich. So throughout a business owner's career and process of exit planning or selling their business, you are one of the top experts in this field. So I would want to ask you, say I'm a business owner and I come to you and I ask you, besides you, Rich, who is the one other advisor I should be definitely being in contact with throughout this process or even after the process as well?
Well, I would say if you put me in the exit planning space, the number one advisor that the business owner ought to be lockstep with throughout the whole process is their financial advisor. Because you remember how we talked a little bit earlier and we said, hey, you come up with your personal goals. How does that translate to your financial goals? And then a lot of business owners, their assumption is, hey, I sell my company. It's going to meet my financial goals. Well, if you don't know what those goals are and you haven't worked out that kind of plan, you may find out that when the time comes, those numbers may not match. And your financial advisor is going to be with you the entire way and can coach and guide you on things, not only investments, but things like massive. Here's the thing I always ask people, get a kick out of it. What's the number one largest expense you're going to pay in your life? What do most people say?
Their home.
Their home. Wrong answer. We all know what the answer is. Taxes.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Of course.
But most business owners are focused on their business, not things like tax strategies or different ways of handling their investments so that they can maximize the returns, minimize the taxes. That's where guys like you guys and the financial advisors come in. I always make sure that they're looped in because of how important it is.
Well, that answer is highly appreciated. Thanks, Rich. Something else, if I was a business owner and I came to you for one piece of advice, what would that be?
Learn the difference between an income-generating business and a valuable business. They're not mutually exclusive, but as we said earlier, an income-generating business is not necessarily a valuable business. But if you understand what generates value, then migrate, start running the operations, running the company that way. Because here's the thing. What if that once-in-a-lifetime phone call came in? And I've heard this scenario before. And it could change your family tree and your family's forever.
Your legacy.
Your legacy.
Yeah.
And you weren't ready for it. And the business wasn't ready. Once business owners get their mindset around, wait, a valuable or a value-based business, then they start running it that way. Then the choice of when they may want to do a transition is now they can do it whenever they want to.
On their terms.
It's their terms. And I'll tell you, companies that are run this way are much, much more highly valued. And there's buyers out there begging to find them today.
You know, going back to, there's a lot of scary statistics and negativity, but kind of like getting a checkup or using a Mark's athletic analogy here. If you exercise, you eat, right, do all these things, then you live a better quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Is there hard work in between? Sure. But it all pays off.
Yes.
Hopefully in the end.
Guaranteed. And it's usually when I explain to a business owner the difference. And when the light bulb finally goes off, they're like, oh man, now I get it. Now I understand. And it's usually helping them understand from a buyer's perspective. What are things that buyers are looking for in a business? Once they understand that, then it clicks. then it's not that hard of a transition. They get it. And again, they're building a phenomenal company at that point.
And from what I understand, it doesn't only help them sell their business if that opportunity were to come, but it also enhances profits and enhances every aspect of the business, even if they don't decide to sell it, correct?
Yes. I've got an example that I share sometime when I do presentations of when you understand how companies are evaluated, as an example, and a little bit more than the cursory, oh, my next door neighbor sold his company for 10 times. You know, what does that mean? Don't even listen to that. But once you start understanding those things, then you can say, okay, well, if I have a better strategic plan, a better leadership team, I do these things differently. I'm no longer fully involved in the business because I've developed a strong leadership team that now allows me and my wife to take a 2-week and 3-week vacation without business going under. That's a plug for all the spouses out there. Then you got a stronger leadership team, then what happens? You got a stronger company. And then when you have a stronger company, you got stronger profits. Well, when you have stronger profits and stronger company, that multiple that buyers are talking about paying is going to be higher. And then guess what? It's a multiple of your EBITDA, which is a form of profit. So both aspects can considerably grow all because of addressing the same thing.
Fascinating.
Life-changing. I mean, really, I could imagine that light bulb moment happening. And you have changed someone's life.
Yeah, you nailed it. That's a lot of why I do what I do.
That's great. Well, looking ahead, Rich, what's next for you and the Rich Hall Group? Is there anything you're working on currently that you're really excited about?
Oh, man, there's a lot of things. So I'm obsessed with this helping and assisting business owners succeed. And like you said, changing lives. That's what really drives me. We're furthering developing collateral around this concept of the exit planning journey, which really helps, you know, the business owners understand and all of those people that are involved in the whole ecosystem and all the different advisors. Many play different roles, but they don't know how their role ties to the overall plan. We're also creating an academy for business owners that are looking at, you know, yeah, I want to learn a little bit more about this, but I'm not ready in the next 3 years, or I'm not ready to hire an advisory firm or whatever. We're looking at a peer group that business owners can attend once a month in an academy type format, maybe 4 hours a month, but really learn and go through this journey together with others. And then another plug is we're growing and we're looking for additional resources that work in this value advisory type space that can go in and work with business owners 2 to 3 years in advance.
Wow, that is very exciting. And again, you're changing lives. What a great value add. And I know that we certainly are going to be talking to our clients that are business owners about all these things that we've discussed. And just before we kind of close out, if somebody's listening and they wanted to get a hold of you or read more about you, where do we go?
Best place, hit the website. Because there's a ton of this information out there about the exit planning journey, and it's richhallgroup.com. You can schedule meetings with me off the website, send emails, my contact information's out there, and all of this stuff we're talking about is downloadable, and they can educate and be happy to have a phone call.
That's great.
As well.
You're on LinkedIn also, right?
I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn.
All right.
Yes.
All right,
so cool. In all of that connection, happy to connect and learn a little bit more. And all of that contact information is on the
website. Make sure y'all connect with Rich, listeners. Wealth of information. All right. So Rich, this is the part of the podcast where we ask you to share something you currently find interesting. It could be anything, a book, a movie, a blog, or just a piece of wisdom you live by.
I'll go for the piece of wisdom.
All right.
Always put God and family as the highest priorities in your life. Work will come and go, but the time that you spend with your kids and loved ones is finite and can never be replaced.
Ah, yes.
That is great wisdom. Love hearing that.
It's what I live by.
Well, Rich, it's been an absolute pleasure having you. There's so many insights and we could probably go on and on and on, but thanks again. Thanks for sharing all these tips and insights with us and our listeners. Again, changing lives, really.
That's what it's about.
It's something else. So, well, thank you everyone for tuning in to Dollars and Cents, Wealth, Wisdom, and Well-Being. Until next time.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.